We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
Majority Leader Shikarchi, we saw how House Speaker Mattiello had a very close race with Republican Stephen Frias and won only thanks to mail ballots. Does this indicate that Speaker Mattiello is going to have to work in the new session more collaboratively with Senate President Pivoweed to get some things done, to have a stronger record to campaign on in the future?
He always will do that, regardless of election results. The Speaker's election results were close, but there were many General Assembly races that were close. I think that had to do more with a national effect and how things worked here. The Speaker will be fine, and if he runs for re-election next term, which I believe he will, I'm going to encourage him to, I'm absolutely confident he will win again.
Why do you think it was such a close race between Speaker Mattiello and Stephen Frias?
Because it became the media focus as really the only race in the state, even though there were Senate races. You find people in the media never focused on that. And plus, there was the Hillary and Trump factor. And plus, his district is a district that swings back and forth between the Democrat and Republican. But ultimately, the end of the day, he was judged on his record, and it was a very good record, and that's why he won.
Let's go to Scott.
Don't you want a speaker, though, to have a safer district than that?
Not necessarily. I want a speaker who does the right thing for the people of Rhode Island and is not afraid to make a decision because it's the right thing. And Nick Mattiello has shown that and proven that time again. And it's not easy being speaker. You have a very diverse House. You have a very conservative wing of the party. And you have a very progressive wing. And the speaker has done an excellent job in keeping those two wings together and giving a good work product. Let's look at the major pieces of legislation that have come out of the House in the last 3 years. And that's due to the speaker's leadership. And it's been a good work product for the people of Rhode Island. The lowering of taxes, the increasing of minimum wage, the increasing of the tip wage. I can go back and forth. I'm ping-pong on a bunch of good issues.
Now you can, but one issue. Do you think we should raise the minimum wage? You talk about raising the minimum wage. Here are the facts, Representative. In January, our minimum wage in Rhode Island is $1.40 an hour less than Massachusetts. How can you brag about that?
Because we've taken action in the past, and I believe...
Wait a minute. It's $1.40 an hour less.
It will be, and we will take action again.
You'll raise it, you believe?
I won't speak definitively because we'll hear the evidence, but every year, Representative Bennett from Warwick and myself have co-sponsored legislation to raise the minimum wage, and I think there's a very good chance you'll see an increase of the minimum wage this year. We will be, as we always have been, competitive with our neighbors. That's the litmus test.
You're not now.
You say now, but you're saying in January, and then in January we go back into session. We will be very shortly.
Will the House support a line item veto in the new legislative session?
We will consider that, and we'll look at that, as the Speaker has said, and I don't know that. Just so everyone understands that, we can't change a line item veto. It has to be done by a constitution. You have to put that before the voters, like with the Ethics Commission, and that is 2 years away before our next general election. So whether we take action this year or next year, it really will be ultimately up to the voters in 2 years.
There has been some incremental progress in how Rhode Island's business climate is rated by national business publications, but it still ranks in the bottom 10 of states nationally. We know that Democrats have controlled the General Assembly since the 1930s. What do you say to people who believe that Democrats bear the responsibility for not doing more to have a better business climate?
I think they need to look at the whole picture and look at the Republican governors that we've had. And I think in spite of what everyone says, that the legislature being the almighty power base of the state, we've had a string of Republican governors for a long time, and they need to share in either the credit or the blame of the things that happened in the state.
Well, we really know, Joe, that the General Assembly is unusually strong as a legislature in Rhode Island.
Compared to other states?
Yes.
We are absolutely a stronger legislature than, say, the state of New Jersey. Absolutely. And we can pick and choose states, but we are strong, but we're not, it's not supreme and it's not absolute. And the governor does set an agenda. And as Scott McKay oaks to point out in his columns, the governor typically gets about 90 to 95% of their budget. Most governors in Rhode Island get that. So that they need, if they're getting 95% of what they put in his budget, they need to accept the responsibility of what's going in that budget.
We're talking with House Majority Leader Joseph Shikarchi, and now back to Scott.
There was a lot of sturm und drang in the media and among Republicans about getting rid of the master lever. The master lever was tossed out, and yet it didn't help the Republicans at all, did it?
I am so glad you brought that topic up, because I was the sponsor of that legislation that eliminated the master lever. And no, as a matter of fact, it did not. It did not, and it changed the balance of power. If anything, the The Democratic Party picked up two additional seats in the General Assembly. And the master lever didn't change anything, and I don't think it really would or could, but it's just a myth of the media.
Minchardi Lear, Shikarchi, you managed Gina Raimondo's campaign when she ran for treasurer back in 2010. Do you believe she's performed up to expectations since becoming governor?
I believe she's putting a tremendous amount of effort in, and I think that she hasn't seen the full result of those efforts yet, but she will in the next 2 years. And I'm confident that she's turned the battleship, so to speak, in the right direction, and things are going in the right direction.
Why do you believe that?
Because of the bond issues that were put up recently all passed in Rhode Island, and that's an indication of satisfaction with the state and where we're going, because if people didn't like the direction of the state, they typically wouldn't authorize more bonds.
I'm just wondering, as far as education goes, is there a way to make college more affordable for a lot of folks nowadays who middle class families, we hear all the time, having trouble paying that tuition?
That is a problem. It's a serious problem. For the last 2 years, I put in a bill in to forgive a student loan forgiveness program if the graduate stays in Rhode Island. I was just talking to two colleagues about it this week, Representative Ackerman from Cumberland and Representative Morin from Woonsocket, and that's a priority of both of them, and they want to work on that. I think so, and I hope so. I think we've done a little bit to help college graduates forgive loan programs. I think we need to do more. I don't know how much, but it is certainly a priority of mine. It has been for the last 2 years. I'm going to try to work very hard on that.
There's a lot of self-examination among Democrats after Donald Trump's victory. Most of Rhode Island's Democratic establishment, including yourself, backed Hillary Clinton over Bernie Sanders. Do you think Sanders would have performed any better than Clinton against Trump?
No, I actually think, with all due respect to my colleagues and friends who were also Sanders supporters, I think he would have done a lot worse. And let's not remember that Hillary Clinton had a tremendous amount of negative press, negative advertising, and Bernie Sanders, in his campaign this past cycle, had zero negative press, zero attacks from anybody from the Republican Party. They actually encouraged him. They wanted him to run. And I think if he had faced some of the onslaught of negativity that was thrown at Hillary by the Republicans, he would have seen his numbers go down.
What does the Democratic Party have to do now to rebuild?
You're talking nationally?
And locally.
Well, locally, the party's pretty strong here in Rhode Island. There's not much rebuilding. We control both houses of the General Assembly. We have every elected office.
On the national level.
Okay, on the national
and
level.
And you had lower turnout this year than you've had in the past.
It was a dissatisfaction of a national election. This was a presidential year, and I think that's why the turnout was down.
It's up in a presidential year.
I understand, but it was a lot of negativity, and you heard a lot of people say, I don't like either candidate, and that's what I think turns people off. I think nationally, the party needs to bring a fresh face and a fresh perspective. And in spite of what people say, some people think the party needs to go more toward the middle or more toward the left. I don't really think that matters, what kind of a candidate, if it comes from the progressive wing or the moderate wing of the party. I think it has to be somebody fresh and different and new and look at the current problems we have in a different way.
Who's that person?
I don't know who that person is. It will emerge, I am sure, before our next election cycle.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
And House Majority Leader of Warwick, Joseph Shikarchi.
Thank you so much. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody.